All right, so we will start with our question. What does having peace mean to you? I know that's really open-ended, but it was on purpose. All right, so what does having peace mean to you? Or what comes to your mind, Malcolm?
Well, since it's a sermon, I thought about being without fear.
All right, being without fear. All right, you're doing a spoiler alert for those that weren't in the 8:30 service. Just kidding. Yes, Debbie.
All right. And just the absence of, because I'm going to have fears that pop up. And I'm human and they just pop in your head. But, you know, like I was telling my daughter this morning, sometimes you just have to learn how to overcome them with different thoughts and allowing the peace of the Holy Spirit to live in.
All right, so conquering of fear brings peace. Yes, Chris?
I'm going to say, regardless of the trial you're going through, you can have calm and be assured because you know.
All right, so a calm of what the future holds.
I think of the, I forget who's the artist, but the song about the words in it that always struck me were that sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes he calms the child who's going through the storm.
Right.
So having peace, either the storm gets taken away, or it's you weather the storm knowing that God's in control.
All right, good. It's also great to have Susan's mom visiting with us today. Thank you so much for coming, being here as well. All right, other thoughts? What is peace? What does it mean? What do you think of when you think of peace? Everybody's kind of been focused on like inner peace and all.
Well, relationships.
All right, relationships. All right, peace in a relationship. All right, so in a outward thought, you know, nations being at peace or no wars, no conflicts. Okay. All right, so an understanding that God isn't caught by surprise. He knows what's coming, and so you can have a trust and assurance that an inner peace, you know, that he is not caught off guard and he is okay with what's going on in your life. Okay. All right. Nobody's talked from over here. Y'all are for the quiet section today. You're at peace. Greg always talks. The cat got your tongue or something. All right, Millie.
When they were talking about spiritual peace, I was thinking about whenever I have these sliding doors in my house, glass, and when it's pouring down rain, and just how wonderful it feels and to hear it raining. Because I'm from California where it doesn't really do that dogs, and it's so green and it's just
right.
So
as long as you have a good roof over your head, it is.
We got a good roof.
Okay.
God is blessed.
When you hear it dripping on the inside, it's not really that fun anymore.
Yeah. But that is very peaceful to me.
Okay. Good. Yes.
Being calm.
Being calm. Good. All right. So peace is a calmness. Good. Good thought. Good. What? All right, so a calm or a that idea here, kind of tranquility is maybe how we might, another adjective to describe it. So a peace, a tranquility. Harold.
Knowing that God's never going to leave us or forsake us.
All right, so the
security
of knowing God won't leave us or forsake us. Debbie?
Just my favorite thing to do when I am distraught is to just repeat verses about peace from the Bible, because it's this whole thing where I was just saying, where you come. my thoughts away from the what is, which you can't control what is.
Right.
You have to learn how to just become focused on the other part of life, not the turmoil, but like the Holy Spirit.
So scripture helps better than ice cream. And
it helps better than essential oils too.
Okay. But they would be second, right? So you start reading your Bible and do the essential oils at the same time. See if it helps blend it all. Okay. Yes.
What she just said made me think. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Right. Yep.
If you're walking in peace, you're walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
And regardless of what comes about, you're gonna be in a calm state.
Okay. All right. For a calming state.
And peace and faith are tied together too.
All right, Jessica.
So I tend to think more because I'm an overthinker and kind of a shelter. So for me, peace.
Chris is agreeing with you.
And it's like peace of mind, like the absence of like worries or anxieties or the overthought process.
All right. So the peace of, yes, having a peace in your thought process and coming to a conclusion and I'm the same. I always, you always think through things and I could have done it better. Why couldn't I? And I could have, and next time I should, and all of that. And sometimes you just got to say, I got to just stop and move on. Yes, Malcolm.
I was thinking about the world, there's people who are other beliefs and faith, and there is such a thing as false peace.
Yes. Yep.
Maybe ignorance of some kind can be peace, but it's not a true peace.
Okay. All right. Good. So a false peace when you're trusting in the wrong things or believing things that aren't true, believing the wrong things. Good. What else? What else comes to your mind? Millie?
Well, whenever I'm sitting with him here in the room, it's like he's telling me that I'm God.
Right.
Because God has blessed us where we're at.
Yeah.
He's still being in California where it's all dry and all that insanity, or he's picked us up and brought us in another state, another
place. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yep. Sorry, Damien.
Fulfillment, so I'm not being distracted by striving for something else. So that leaves room to be able to execute whatever your purpose is.
Good. Great. So a peace in the fulfillment of where you're at and not, feeling unfulfilled that you have to get to another level or another place or not being content at, in essence. And again, I'm sure you're not saying, I think you would probably agree that, you can have goals and drive toward those goals, but understand, okay, each step is, I'm going to be satisfied in this step and be fulfilled in what I'm doing before I get to the next one. I'm not going to constantly be looking at the next thing. I would just say for parents, enjoy each phase of your children. So often I talk to parents and it's, I can't wait till the kid's out of diapers, and I can't wait till they're out of their terrible twos. I can't wait till they go to school. I can't wait till they're, it's just like enjoy where they're at. Because before you know it, they're going to, they won't even be there anymore. All right. They'll be gone. So enjoy each phase of their lives and cherish those things and find fulfillment, whether you're changing a diaper or potty training or, helping them with schoolwork or wherever they're at, enjoy that stage and be fulfilled within that, knowing that, yes, they are going to move on. And things will continue to grow and proceed to another stage. But enjoy each and every one of those as well. So, any other thoughts that trigger anybody else? All right, John 16. And we'll jump into our verses here. 29 through 33. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. If not, I have it on the screen. But his disciples said to him, and of course, he was talking to them and in figures of speech, and they weren't, the disciples aren't getting it. They're not quite understanding. So his disciples in verse 29, well, let me start in verse 28. He says, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. So now his disciples said, Now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So again, just quick review. The disciples seem to understand now what Jesus is saying to them. They're expressing belief that he is the Son of God, that he does know all things. Jesus is telling them that soon they're going to forsake him, and that even though right now they say they believe in him, right now they say that, you know, that they are following him and trust him and know who he is, Jesus says that soon you're going to leave me, you're going to forsake them, forsake me. But he says, understand though, even through all of that, in the end, when it's all said and done, you can still have peace. So even though, you know, you go through the rough time, even though you actually blow it and forsake me and don't follow me, don't stay true to me, I'm still going to allow you to have peace at the end of it. I'm still going to bring you back. I'm still going to work through all of that to give you a peace of understanding, a peace of knowing that I'm still with you, the peace of knowing that I am still God, that I am still who I say I am. And so in all of that, he says, you're still going to have peace. So he says in verse 33, I've said these things that you may have peace, that in me you may have peace. So these last words that Jesus says to his disciples before he begins addressing the Father in prayer in chapter 17, it really all goes back to chapter 13 when he washes their feet. So chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, this is really just kind of a culmination of these chapters where Jesus is really teaching through all of this and guiding them through the stages and the phases to realize that you can have peace in me. You can trust me. And many of the things that you all shared this morning already, that, you know, we can trust in Christ. We know that he is in control. We believe in him. We acknowledge him. We know that he won't bring things into our life that he won't help us through. He's going to give us the strength in all of those things. We have the Word of God to help to change our thought process and all of that. And all of these things are to help us to understand the peace that come from knowing him. Because he says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. Things aren't going to go your way. You know, things are going to go terribly wrong. You know, sometimes a whole lot worse than others. You know, and again, we've been very blessed in my lifetime up to this point. You know, we've been blessed as believers, you know, that we haven't faced a lot of persecution. But, you know, you talk to believers or you read accounts of believers from China and other Islamic countries. They don't have that. They don't have that freedom. They don't have that. They are persecuted. They are put to death. They are facing real persecution for their faith and for their belief. You know, and you know, if God doesn't change things, we're going to see changes in our country. And, you know, whether it's in our children's or grandchildren, great, at some point, there's going to be a change unless God intervenes on our behalf. And so Christ has spoken in chapters 13 through 16 in order for the disciples and by extension his followers to have peace in him. And even though he's leaving them, he says if they believe what he has said in these chapters, if they grasp these truths, then they too can have peace. And you know, this is really foundational, and it's hard for us to like maybe get it as much because we're not Jews and we didn't grow up with the Jewish history of things. But this idea of peace for the Jews is a wholeness, or it's a satisfied life. That's, you know, those of you that are familiar with Jewish greetings. You know, what is that?
Shalom,
which is peace. You know, and that's their means of greeting one another. Why? Because it's this understanding of, you know, they're wishing upon you or hoping for you to have a wholeness or a satisfying life. You know, it's not just, you know, peace, don't fight me, don't punch me. But this idea of you are, you know, having a wholeness and a fulfilled life idea. But Christ takes that thought and he wraps it up and ties it to in me. Greg. Okay, so you can punch him and still be at peace. Okay. You can tell me later how that works. So, indeed. So this idea that peace and wholeness of life or salvation were found fully in Jesus or in Christ becomes very important in Paul's theology. You know, and as Paul teaches in the Gospel of John, in 1 John really, you know, this idea that we have to be in Christ to experience true peace go hand in hand. So the world, Jesus says, is not an easy place to live. But in John's thinking, the world is in the hands of an evil ruler. All right. So in what way was the world in the hands of an evil ruler? You know, as John's writing this, who is he referring to? Just pretty. Who?
The devil.
All right. So possibly the devil or even who?
Nero.
Right. The emperor. You know, he was evil.
Yeah.
And you know, he wasn't a nice individual. So at this point, even in John's thought process, probably the most glaring thing or the most reasonable thing is that, you know, he's just talking about the actual ruler, physical ruler that they knew. You know, and at this point, it was Nero. It was a very wicked individual that was persecuting them. And of course, we know later, you know, we do know that Satan is the ruler of the darkness of this world. But I think as John's writing this, he's probably thinking more in lines of the emperor that they were under. So as a result, the followers of Jesus are subject to, you know, tribulation. They're subject to trouble. They're subject to persecution. They're subject to trials and sorrows because of who the ruler is. And because of their unwillingness to embrace Christianity. So the word for tribulation appears only here and in 1621, which we talked about when we talked about the pains in childbirth. And so we're using it here to suggest serious difficulties for Christians. But what is the interesting thing even about in this world we have tribulation? All right, so kind of think about that, and then think about how John used or Jesus used it when he talked about the childbirth. Yeah. So how can we relate those two?
Well, there's joy after the child's born.
All right, there's joy after the child's born. So how does that relate to the tribulations that we go through here on this earth?
They'll end eventually too.
All right, they'll end.
He's saying that all things, even the bad things happening in the world, ultimately serve a purpose, just like pain serves a purpose in childbirth.
Okay, all right. So they happen for a purpose.
And the accumulation of eventually joy and peace. I was thinking about David's reign. You know, they said he was a man of blood or war.
Uh-huh.
But his son, Solomon, I think that name means peaceful.
Okay.
When Eric came, there was a glorious kingdom after
David. Right, yes. There was a peaceful kingdom for 40 years. All right, and I think the word choice here is that just as in childbirth, you know, yes, it is travail. Yes, there is pain. And then the joy comes after that. Yes, we go through, we go through serious problems. We have tribulations. We do that. But there's joy on the other side of that. And whether it's here on this earth or whether it's we die and we go to heaven, there's joy. Ultimately, there is joy. And again, even if we don't experience it in the human life, we will experience it in the eternal life. John.
I want to ask you that, as I have learned, as I go through these tribulations in my life, I know they're going to be there. I will lesson.
Right. Yeah.
So educate me, because I know I'm going to lose both.
Okay. Right, so great point. As you go through these tribulations, you know, be asking the Holy Spirit, how, you know, teach me through this. What can I learn from this? What can I glean from this? You know, how, what can I take from this and now be a blessing and a help to someone else? And sometimes it's not immediate. You know, sometimes you won't know right away what really the takeaway is, but, you know, it might be weeks, months, years down the road that you do. You know, I use the illustration often. You know, there are times I why did I have to have my appendix taken out or have a hernia or different things? But, you know, it's really helped to be able to empathize with people in the church that are in the hospital having surgery and being able to go visit with them and pray with them. And you know, you can empathize because you really understand, you know, what they're going through. And so there are, you know, things that I think, well, you know, God allowed that to happen so that I would experience the same pain and feeling so that I can help and be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else in that. Micah.
Even Jesus came down to suffer.
Yes, exactly.
He
yes.
knows suffering just
oh, yes. Oh, yes, he sure does. Well, you know, and he was in all tempted like we are in all points, yet without sin. And yes, he suffered more than probably any of us ever will. So he definitely understands the suffering and the persecution.
I was thinking about, you know, you people who are musicians, when I listen to something, I can't hardly play a radio. So, you know, people who
I pick a mean nose.
You can hear things that I can't hear. And you know, your enjoyment of music is far deeper than mine, and probably the same thing with people in travails. They've experienced, they've learned things that people who have not experienced those things can never appreciate.
Okay, good point. Did y'all hear what he said? Okay, Dick?
Another thing I thought is along the lines of Job. Job was a righteous man, and God allowed him to go through that. And it just, we have to keep in mind that sometimes the tribulations are to determine whether we're going to stay faithful.
Okay. And I, even with Job, I think, you know, what a testimony and what a blessing he has been. You know, because remember now, Job is like a contemporary of Abraham. So, you know, he's like one of the earliest characters that we have recorded history of, or at least in Scripture. And, you know, here's an individual that we, you know, we can go back to and all the examples and the truth and what we can learn from his life to help us now through tribulations and trials that we go through. And realizing that, you know, you do, you know, sometimes we do go through tribulations and it's not because we're being punished or judged. You know, just as Micah mentioned, Jesus went through all of that, but it wasn't that he was being punished for things he did. You know, he was punished for our sins, of course, on the cross, but even in his ministry, all that he faced and suffered wasn't because of him. He was still righteous. He was perfect in all of that. Good. Good thought. So in spite of all of these troubles that are being predicted, the disciples and us, by extension, are encouraged because Jesus has overcome the world. You know, he says, I have overcome the world. I have done this. I have gotten the victory over all of that, and so we can do that. I can handle that. Is that okay? That's fine. So the Gospel of John and 1 John are not books that proclaim a defeatist attitude. Rather, they're realistic in that they take the suffering, the persecution, and the martyrdom very seriously. You know, John understands that this is serious. It's not something to be made light of. You know, yes, we are going to face these things, and we are going to, we are going to have to encounter all of that. And so we've got to understand that these are things that we battle with. And then he's writing to help us to get a positive attitude about them and to get victory over them. So books of encouragement, As we face anxiety, it's interesting because the pastor's message this morning is about that. But they don't call us to a superficial discipleship. You know, just that we're just going to, you know, show up to church and do things on the surface of things. But rather, he says, you know what, we've got to self-sacrifice. We've got to be willing to completely obey. And it's modeled on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. You know, that's our example. That's where we compare things to. You know, and what we understand as the bottom truth is that Christ did these things. And so that is where we kind of start. That's where we are at. And we'll pick up there next week. Father, thank you for time today. Thank you for great discussion and being able to share one with another. We do appreciate that. Thank you for the encouragement that it was to me. And I pray that it was to others as well. And I ask that you would be with the pastor as he preaches again in the next hour, and that you would speak to the hearts of those that are in the service, speak through him, give him strength and courage. In your name, amen.